Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the WWE, the women's division, as well as a little bit of updates on some contract signings and AEW and their television deal at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started, our apologies for our very short show yesterday with a lot of technical issues with Blog Talk Radio, which we are told, once again, has been ironed out. So let's knock on wood and hope that's the case. And purge onward, as the WWE will be doing with their women's division, despite what has to be one of the biggest downtimes, I think, they've had in recent memory with it. Folks, listen, aside from the fact that Nia Jax is out with double ACL surgery, which is going to keep her out virtually a year, so you can rest assured you're not going to see Nia Jax for at least 9-10 months. Probably a year. We now get the news that Ronda Rousey during WrestleMania 35 had broke her hand so severely that it requires surgery, and she is going to be out for an indefinite amount of time. She was scheduled to do, I think, one more match before she faded into the sunset for a little while. That's not going to happen now. So Ronda Rousey now no longer the focal point of the women's division. And, of course, as we touched on yesterday, and we'll touch on some more today, the Sasha Banks mystery. And the reason we're calling it a mystery is because nobody really seems to know exactly what is going on. So we're going to break it down for you, and you can judge for yourself. Several different sources have said that Sasha Banks and Bayley were extraordinarily unhappy upon finding out at WrestleMania they were dropping the women's tag team belts to the Iconics. Primarily because A, they were told last minute. B, they were promised a long title run since they were the ones who advocated the most for a women's tag team championship in the WWE. And three, because, and this one is a little sketchy, but this is what we're being told, Sasha Banks did not feel the Iconics in their current form as more comedic and less serious wrestlers deserve those belts. Now, this is offset by some very strange things, because you can find some pictures of Bayley and Sasha celebrating with the Iconics, with their arms around them. You get tweets that seem to be okay. However, multiple sources have said that it is not a myth that Sasha Banks and Bayley were literally lying on the floor of the locker room, bemoaning the fact that they were losing the women's tag team belts, and even at the hotel that night, lying on the floor outside the door of the hotel. Now, something is most certainly wrong, because not only did Sasha Banks miss her appearance on the Wendy Williams show, calling in with a last-minute excuse that some people are calling a non-excuse, she posted a ridiculously weird message on her, I think it's Instagram account, basically saying, sometimes the magic is gone from what you think you wanted, and it was a very long-winded way of saying she's unhappy. And if that's not enough proof, she apparently has unfollowed WWE on her Twitter account and begin following AEW. Bayley was sent out Monday night to virtually be squashed by Alexa Bliss in what has to be unless you are going to tell me they have the most mindless booking in the world, has to be a punishment booking for Bayley. So now where are we staring down the barrel of if we're WWE? We have no Nia Jax. We have no Ronda Rousey. We have no Sasha Banks because Sasha Banks has clearly stated she does not intend to show up tonight. You have minimized Asuka to the point where there's really not much point of her anymore. And you're left with Becky and Charlotte. And that's about it. And this is what happens, folks, when you put all your eggs in one basket. This is what happens when you say this federation, or at least this division of the federation, revolves completely around one woman, and that one woman is Ronda Rousey. And that's exactly what the WWE did. Don't let them fool you. They're going to say, oh, come on, we pushed Charlotte to the moon. We pushed Becky Lynch to the moon. We were pushing some other girls. Look, they were pushing a couple girls to go against Ronda Rousey because they needed someone that the fans would buy into facing Ronda Rousey. But no other major storylines were being pushed. And the little minimal ones that were, like Mandy Rose versus Naomi, were quickly put to bed, never really amounted to anything, and it was just move on. We got Ronda. Now, listen, I warned everybody when Ronda Rousey first came into this federation. I said this could be good or it could be bad. It could put all eyes on the women's division and lend it credibility, and that's a wonderful thing. But if you use Ronda Rousey in a way that makes it appear as though you were undermining the rest of your women's division, in the long run, it's going to do more harm than good. And that's exactly what ended up happening. This one-year-plus reign of Ronda Rousey has actually done more damage to the women's division. Sure, it got a couple of headlines here and there. But were the headlines with anybody else except Ronda Rousey? See, that's the thing. Once in a while, okay, this person's fighting Ronda Rousey. But it was always about Ronda Rousey or who she was opposing. It didn't bleed down. It didn't get people to start talking about Sasha and Bayley. It didn't get people talking about Naomi or Asuka. It didn't do any of those things. And the girls began to pick up on it. The women, I should say, to be politically correct, began to pick up on this. And say, even when we're being promoted, it's only us being promoted to fight Ronda Rousey. Built up the fight Ronda Rousey. It's all about Ronda. I could argue that the Evolution pay-per-view was all about Ronda Rousey. And speaking of the Evolution pay-per-view, this was the women's supposed big moment. You finally got a pay-per-view of your own. And it was supposed to be that feel-good moment before the WWE sold them out and went to Saudi Arabia once again where they can't go. And at the time I told you, this is them throwing the women's division a bone. You can't go to Saudi Arabia, so we'll give you your own pay-per-view. It's the equivalent of saying, kids, you're not going on vacation with us, so we're going to take you out to the movies before we leave. That's what it is. It's exactly what it is. And at the time, maybe the women didn't think so, but I think what happened is the women have started to come around and say, you know, this doesn't feel good anymore. It doesn't feel like we're really getting the benefit of the rub from Ronda Rousey or this women's division or anything else. And truthfully, they're not. There's no Evolution pay-per-view scheduled this year, thus far. And they are going to Saudi Arabia in May, and they're insisting we are pushing very hard for there to be a women's match. Well, that's all well and fine and progressive and wonderful, and if you can get it done, it's a miracle. Considering that they made you issue a formal apology to the government of Saudi Arabia for showing 5 seconds of Carmella dancing on an advertisement that inadvertently played during the show you had there. But let's say the Saudi Arabian government says, look, we have such a big black eye from this whole incident where we basically ordered a reporter murdered and dismembered that everyone has forgotten about, that maybe we do have to soften our approach to look good in the eyes of the world, so maybe we'll allow them, out of the goodness of our heart, to find two girls to cover themselves up basically in a suit of armor and have a two-minute match. I doubt that's even going to happen. But if it does, it's done for no other reason than a political appeasement. That's it. It's not progressive. It's not, oh, it's a wonderful day for the women. It's a political appeasement. This whole women's division has been a political appeasement. And I think maybe Sasha Banks has figured it out. And I think maybe some of the other women have too. Now, having said that, if you're going to legitimately tell me that Sasha Banks and Bayley laid on the floor of a locker room distraught about losing belts they never truly earned, I mean, this is a television show. You just handed the belts. You told you're going to have the belts. That's pretty juvenile. I understand where Sasha Banks is coming from. She's never been given. I don't believe that girl has that woman. Forgive me. I call everybody girls and boys. I don't believe that woman has ever defended a belt on a pay-per-view other than the tag team belts at WrestleMania. I don't think she has. If she has, she's lost every single time. So she's followed AEW, and AEW knows that. I mean, they're salivating at the possibility that the WWE would release Sasha Banks. Not going to happen. I can tell you right now, that's not going to happen. They'll make Sasha Banks sit for however long her contract is, plus the no-compete clause. There's no way WWE is releasing Sasha Banks. I don't know what she'd have to do to get released. But it's just not happening. So the WWE has a problem. Their star, the woman that they have built the federation around, and let's face it, the division around, Ronda Rousey is gone. And Ronda Rousey may have found out that wrestling isn't exactly to her liking anyway. You know, I have heard rumors that Ronda Rousey wasn't completely happy with a lot of the things that happens in the WWE. Number one, she was not happy about being booed nor being turned into a heel character. Number two, apparently she had some nagging little injuries after matches that she really didn't count on or care for. And number three, I think she began to realize, I can't pull this off with just my name power. And I'm not sure she wanted to put the work into becoming a really solid, competitive professional. I shouldn't say competitive because nothing's competitive in pro wrestling, but a real solid working professional wrestler. I think she just figured, I'll use my judo moves. I just won't put any pressure on holds. I'll do the flips in a certain way where they know they're coming, but I'm not going to learn pro wrestling, okay? I'm not going to learn all of these intricacies of how to call a match, how to read this, how to do that, you know, ring placement and time, the perfect timing and how to tell the story. She didn't want to do any of that. She's Ronda Rousey, and she just wanted to go in and say, I'm Ronda Rousey. And I beat people up in WWE like I did in UFC. And the WWE was perfectly happy with that. Did she improve a little bit from WrestleMania to WrestleMania? Yeah. But anybody would. See, that's my point. You have and there's no one who's going to argue that Ronda Rousey isn't a qualified athlete. Certainly is that. So if you have an athlete, an elite athlete, as Ronda Rousey, and she puts a full year in, you would think she would be really, really good. I mean, you would think that you would see such a ridiculous difference. It would be day and night, and you'd say, wow. Because she's got the athletic chops to really do it. The very fact that she didn't really advance all that far with her natural athletic skills, penchant for training and everything, indicates to me she wasn't overly excited about doing any of that. So once again, the women take a look at that and they say, well, you know, we're busting our ass. She's doing nothing. She's getting all the publicity. We're getting to lay down and count the ring lights. And at some point you say, is this federation ever going to be built around anyone? And then Becky Lynch comes along and catches fire and people say, this is our time. The WWE put all their eggs in the basket of Ronda Rousey, and guess who caught fire? Becky Lynch. The reaction that Becky Lynch is getting now was supposed to be Ronda Rousey. That's what the WWE thought would happen. And it failed because she doesn't have that charisma. Just doesn't have it. So where are we now in this women's division? Well, we have Lacey Evans, who's up walking up and down the aisle catwalking. Recently attacks Becky Lynch twice in two nights. And apparently she's going to be a major part of the Federation. We have the return of Ember Moon, but you've already kind of ruined Ember Moon, haven't you? And then we got a whole bunch of people who you basically fed to the lion being Ronda Rousey, who are never going to look as good as they did beforehand. Like the Riot Squad. And maybe you can do something with Carmella. But at the end of the day, you're pretty thin, aren't you? Pretty damn thin. And that's because you concentrated all your efforts on one person and really didn't try to flesh out the women's division, really didn't try to make individuals matter other than your top star or two. So what will Sasha Banks do? I don't know. I really don't. If she doesn't want to work, she's not going to work. And she'll probably sit. Bailey will continue to work, I think, but I don't know what I don't know what the damage that has been done will result in. The WWE is now pissed, really pissed at Bailey, and they're just going to throw her to the wolves. I don't know if they're going to bring up some people from NXT and just say, to hell with it. Not really sure. I do know the Superstar Shakeup really needs to be done with some forethought to the women's division. You really have to decide, who am I going to promote here for the coming 6 months at least? And what are we looking at? What are we shooting for? It just can't be random throw darts at a board. Put them over here because they haven't been seen on Raw. Let's put these people over here because they haven't been seen on SmackDown. We'll basically just exchange. Well, that sounds good, and it freshens up your roster for a couple of weeks. But at the end of the day, these moves have to matter. It has to be about more than just switch sides. It has to be about long-term feuds, storylines, angles, the people you're going to push as opposed to the people you're not. Hopefully you've got this all figured out tonight. Because the men's division, see, that's going to survive regardless. Because there's too many people that have reached that status of superstar. I mean, you have AJ Styles. You obviously have Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and, the list goes on, Finn Balor. There's a lot of people there who's always going to have their big, huge fan base. The women's division needs that push. And they've lost a couple of biggies. Say what you want about Sasha Banks. She was popular. Fans like to see her. And Ronda Rousey obviously was a big name, maybe too big for her own good. And if you're just going to say from this point forward, we're running on Becky Lynch and nothing but Becky Lynch is going to run out of gas. You should already know that with the Ronda Rousey experiment. You can't build the division on one person. So right now, Todd, what's your thoughts overall on Sasha Banks? I mean, she's got time left on her contract. There's no way the WWE is going to let her out of that. So do you think she will eventually just acquiesce and start wrestling again, or do you think she's going to sit this out?
Well, to be honest with you, with Sasha Banks and everything, if she leaves, They're not going to let her leave, and she's under contract, and I don't think they're going to let her wrestle or anything. They're not going to let her leave the WWE because of the contract and everything, and they don't want her to go.
No, well, look what they did with Neville, right? How long did it take Neville? Forever. And I would argue that Sasha Banks is a more high-profile name to the WWE than Neville was at the time. So no, they're not going to let her go. They're not going to literally rescind her contract and say do what you want. That's not happening. And I don't know what the great move for her is, because let's say she goes to AEW in time. She can't be Sasha Banks, because that's a WWE name. I don't know if she's going to have the right writers or the right whatever to really put Sasha Banks over in AEW. See, that's another thing. And we're going to slide a little bit into this AEW talk here, because AEW apparently has narrowed down their television deal to a TBS Sports, which means TNT or TBS. And as I had been telling everyone, I love when I'm proven right. I don't like when I'm proven wrong, but I love when I'm proven right. And I'm proven right again. There were so many people who said AEW doesn't need big names on their roster to succeed. Some people said they don't even need television. Well, apparently the TBS powers that be has said it depends on what kind of a roster you can assure us you're going to have, what kind of a TV deal you're going to get. At this stage of the game, they don't see enough big names. Now, you could say what you want. Maybe in the fans' eyes, it doesn't matter if they have big names. Maybe in the fans' eyes, it doesn't matter if they have TV. Maybe fans will tune into Twitch. Maybe fans will tune into a YouTube channel. Maybe fans will do whatever. But at the end of the day, AEW is a business and they want to make money. And a TV deal is money. The WWE, one of their main sources of income, is their television deals. And when the television station is telling you your deal is going to be contingent upon what kind of names you can bring to the table, and you're saying, well, we got Chris Jericho. And God bless Chris Jericho. I'm a big fan of Chris Jericho. But Chris Jericho's 40-something. And as big as his name is, it's not carrying an entire federation. It's just not. So they need more names. And they've signed one or two people who the average wrestling fan is going to scratch their head and say, who? And that's what they seem to be wanting to do. They seem to be wanting to make this a sort of an indie all-star federation. And an indie all-star federation sounds great to wrestling fans, but it doesn't sound great to advertisers. It doesn't sound great to major television networks who say, where's the star power? Where's the draw? So we can start pitching this to sponsors. It's not there. Sasha Banks would be a big name. Anyway, one person we do know is not going to AEW anytime soon, and that is Shinsuke Nakamura, who re-signed his contract with the WWE. Now, go figure this, folks, because this is one thing I don't think too many of us here in the wrestling journalist or opinion host type situation ever thought on. Shinsuke Nakamura apparently is extraordinarily happy with WWE for the very things we thought he would not be happy with them because of. In other words, Nakamura apparently has been saying, look, in Japan, you really got to put your body on the line for these five-star matches, you know, week after week after week after week after week. It's very, very tough. You're always hurt or not feeling great or battered or whatever. WWE, no such thing. I can put on these short matches. I don't really have to bust my ass. I'm still making the same kind of money. Don't care if I win or lose. got a schedule I can kind of dictate myself, piece of cake, gives me more time to surf. He's happy. He's happy. He's one of those guys. There are certain people in pro wrestling who really just think, look, here's the deal. If I can make really great money for minimal effort, I don't really care if I win or lose. After all, it's wrestling. It's rigged. That's great. The least I have to work, the better. The less I have to put my body through, the better. Got a big pay raise. Maybe they'll use me, maybe they won't, but the bottom line is it doesn't matter. Because I know I don't have to go through the hell of proving myself in these 30-minute matches. And I thought all this time, well, Nakamura being kind of born and bred into that kind of thing would be the sort of guy to say, I don't feel my talents are being utilized. I don't feel I'm being used in a way that highlights my career. I feel minimized and handcuffed and not properly used, and I don't want that to be my legacy. That's really what I thought Nakamura would be feeling. And much to my surprise, it's the exact opposite. So good for him, and good for the WWE. I mean, if Nakamura is just about make the money, I'll be Rusev's tag team partner, give me a minute and a half and three moves and show me my paycheck and I'm happy, okay. That's fine. And I think Nakamura knows very well what this is, and that is called we're paying you money to use you minimally so that no one else can get you. Also, someone who signed a new contract, believe it or not, is The Undertaker at 50-some-odd years old. And again, these are contracts. This isn't a Legends contract. I don't know what the hell. He already has a Legends contract. I don't know what the hell the WWE is doing other than trying to sign everyone so AEW can't. That's the only thing I can think of. But now these wrestlers are in a position where almost any of them, if they aren't worried about actually being used in any tangible way, anyone with any kind of a name can get the most out of money they could possibly get from the WWE, because WWE is shelling out big paychecks to make sure you don't go anywhere. All the while they're saying, we're not worried about AEW. We wish them well. We're happy to have competition. Competition is always great. We are, you know, rooting for them just like we would any, you know, wrestling organization that's fledgling and starting up. That's all bullshit. They can say what they want. They can put the happy face on that all day long. That's the equivalent of the new donut shop in town. You know, the old donut shop walking over and saying, well, I wish you luck. You know, I'm the owner of the old one and, you know, wish you luck. Yeah, you don't wish them luck. You hope the building catches fire. So that's what the WWE is doing. They're hoping the building catches fire. And AEW, it's stuck between a rock and a hard place because they can't sign who isn't there to be signed. See, that's the problem. I'm sure AEW was looking for that one big name. I'm sure they were looking for an AJ Styles. I'm sure they were looking for a Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm sure they were looking for a Kevin Owens. Someone who they could say, listen, this is really good for us. This is a name that everybody knows and they can work on a regular basis. Because remember, Chris Jericho is not going to work, you know, 100 dates. I doubt. Jericho always did a few weeks or a month or two with WWE and then off to his rock band or off to do some television show or off to do something else and he'd come back. So he's not going to be their mainstay guy. He's just not. So they were hoping they could sign someone who would be a mainstay. A Finn Balor, that's not happening. Shinsuke Nakamura, that's not happening. AJ Styles, that's not happening. Kevin Owens, that's not happening. Even Sami Zayn, that's not happening. So there's not a lot more guys. So they're going to have to run with what they've got, pretty much, and hope that as people get freed up, they can snatch up a few extra names. Now, the initial shows are probably going to do very well because everyone's going to tune in. It's something new. It's something fresh. It's something exciting. Everybody's going to tune in for the first week or two or three or four. Ratings are going to be very good. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to get on this radio show, and there's going to be people saying, oh, did you see the ratings? Oh, my God. You said they needed big names, and look at the ratings they're drawing with nobody's. Look, give them a couple months. If they're still drawing them numbers after a couple of months, okay. Good for them. But I can guarantee you that the looky-loos who just say, let me tune into this wrestling federation. I don't know that person. I don't know this person. I don't know that person. It's not going to work. You know, I once went to an independent wrestling show. I won't mention the name of the company, but they use WWE athletes that have either A, left the company, or B, been long retired from that company or whatever. And I'm watching families pile in because, of course, they put the WWE guys front and center on the advertisements. And I'm watching families pile in, and these kids got John Cena t-shirts, AJ Styles t-shirts, t-shirts of all the top guys, and they're saying, is John Cena going to be here? Is AJ Styles going to be here? And I'm saying to myself, this isn't even the WWE. They just saw a couple of WWE athletes on the front, or former WWE athletes on the front, and said, oh boy, we're going to get to see everybody. See, this is the thing. But they were there and they bought a ticket, so it counts, doesn't it? It makes the attendance look good. Would those same people come back again? Probably not, because the WWE people that were there either A, didn't wrestle, just signed autographs, or B, got in the ring for a minute or two because they were well past their prime and did next to nothing. And then they were faced with a whole bunch of matches of people that they were saying, I don't know who these people are. And I'm watching kids get fidgety, and I'm watching adults on their cell phones tweeting and Facebooking and, you know, messaging people and not paying attention. And I'm saying, you know, here we go. So let's see what happens with AEW. Once a month or two goes by, let's see if they can maintain what undoubtedly will be great ratings to start. They're going to be patting themselves on the back, and rightfully so, when they get a good number. But maintaining that number is going to be hard. The WWE themselves find it hard to do it. And they are packed with star power. Packed with it. There are people sitting on the bench in the WWE that would be main eventers in other federations. And that's just a fact. So we'll see where this goes, Todd. I mean, I certainly think AEW will have good ratings to begin with, but can they maintain those ratings after a few months goes by?
Oh, and you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's, well, let's see what how they're doing ratings in the first couple of months. Like you said, well, them, they want to be like an indie federation, but they need, but TBS or TNT needs the big star power, like Ted Turner did when he owned it.
Right.
It wasn't an indie federation. It was a major wrestling company, like the old NWA, WCW type, and it was a major federation at the time.
It really was, and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Rob Van Dam just signed a contract with another federation. Nobody offered, AEW didn't offer him anything, obviously. Okay, he's a little past his prime, but Chris Jericho isn't. Rob Van Dam's a pretty big name. And you let that one slide. Eli Drake is apparently gone from the Impact Wrestling, so you're going to try to pick up on him. He's not a big name, really, but he is a name of some sort. And they always seem to be passing in lieu of very good athletes on the Indy circuit, but athletes that have no name recognition or very little name recognition. And I know they hope to make them. And that is a good attitude. You know, we want to make our own stars. We don't want to have to buy other people's stars. We need to make our own stars to be successful. You're absolutely correct. You do. But when you first start out, you have to get the eyes on you and you have to keep the eyes on you. And the only way you can do that is with some stars. Just a few. You don't have to riddle your federation with WWE leftovers or Impact leftovers, but you certainly should have some guys there. Enzo and Cass apparently going to do Ring of Honor stuff. You mean to tell me if they were going to come back as a tag team, you wouldn't want them in AEW as a tag team? And that's a big name. That's fans recognize them. Again, Rob Van Dam, there were some people out there that you chose not to make any offers to in lieu of making offers to people no one ever heard of. So we'll see. We'll see if it's a good strategy. Because the one thing I can tell you, and I don't care how much money the cons have, you're not going to compete with the WWE when it comes to marketing. You're not going to. Ted Turner had more money than God. He didn't compete with the WWE in marketing. Ultimately, that's what cost him. It wasn't that he didn't have all the great wrestlers. He did. They couldn't market him the right way. WWE is a marketing machine. Paul Heyman knew this. Paul Heyman said, we can't compete with the WWE in that department. We can't compete with the WWE and all their glitz and glamour and their production values and everything else. So we have to take the thing that makes us different and accentuate that and play down the rest of it. And had Paul Heyman had a little bit better business acumen, he could have given the WWE a decent run for their money. Because he did do that. Now, I watched Double or Nothing. Or All In, I'm sorry. I watched All In. All In was a really good event. But it felt like one of those once every 6 months events. I'm not sure I would have tuned in the next night to see the fallout from that. And then the next week, I don't know. Because, again, you're going to have a two-hour format on television. That's what I'm hearing, two-hour format. And in those 2 hours, are you going to be able to successfully get somebody behind the scenes who can write these matches to make sure you've got your commercial breaks in, make sure you've got the main things going, make sure everything's good and solid and everybody sticks to their time, and if is the time long enough? Because, again, a pay-per-view is different. And they almost blew it at the pay-per-view, didn't they? All In Wrestling's main event, the last event, last match of that event, had to be cut ridiculously short. They almost didn't make their allotted time. They're going to have to do that every week. There are other factors other than two guys getting in the ring, putting on a match that makes a successful television show, wrestling television show. And I hope they understand that. We'll see if they do. So this is where we stand with the WWE. We're looking now tonight at the first round of the Superstar Shakeup. And on yesterday's show, that was obviously cut short due to technical difficulties, we had said that the main people who would probably benefit from being switched would be Drew McIntyre, switched to SmackDown, where we can forget that he had a ridiculous alliance with Dolph Ziggler that amounted to nothing. Then he had a ridiculous alliance with Braun Strowman that amounted to nothing. Then he had a ridiculous alliance with Baron Corbin that amounted to nothing. Once again, WWE misusing someone who could be a top guy for them. Maybe on SmackDown, things will get better. Certainly, I think AJ Styles needs to go to Raw. He's done everything he possibly can do on SmackDown. And while he is a staple on that roster, there aren't a lot of fresh matches for him. There would be a lot of fresh matches for AJ Styles in on Raw. So I think that would probably be very smart on his behalf. Hopefully, I'm not counting on it, but hopefully they break up Nakamura and Rusev so we can see them as solo performers, because their tag team never made any sense to begin with. It doesn't gel well in practical use when they're together. They don't feel like a tag team. They don't look like a tag team. They don't act like a tag team, and they don't win. So what is there to like about that? I know the WWE is a bit desperate for tag teams. Certainly, it looks like the Usos will probably end up on Raw after dropping the belts to the Hardys. But the major point of the Superstar Shakeup, and I cannot emphasize this enough, is not to simply say, everybody switch sides. Raw is now SmackDown, SmackDown's now Raw. That's not going to work. The main emphasis on the Superstar Shakeup is to pick, cherry pick, and I mean cherry pick. You don't need 20 changes. I would love it if they said, look, 3, maybe 4 picks. That's it. 3 or 4 picks each. That's enough. Make them count. And when you do them with forethought of where is this heading. In other words, if you're going to put Drew McIntyre on SmackDown, I want a meeting with the writers and everybody else that says the reason we're doing this is because we're going to have Drew McIntyre go on a tear that is eventually going to lead to him beating both other members of the New Day individually and going against Kofi Kingston at a major event for the title. That's our plans for Drew McIntyre for the next 3 months. Okay, well then you have a reason to bring him over there. Likewise, if you're going to bring the Usos over to Raw, you have to say, okay, well here's the plan. We're going to have the Usos start to establish themselves as a top tag team here. They're going to be the main rivals for the following people. We're going to get them into a long-term feud with these people. Not just, well, they're here because there's no good matches for them over there. It's all been seen. They fought the New Day a million times. They fought the Bar a million times. Time to switch them. That's not good enough. Give me a legitimate reason or leave them where they are. Give me a storyline. Give me a program that's going to run for 3 months where you say, okay, this is where they're going for the next 3 months. And guess what? That's what the athletes want too. You're never going to convince me that if you sat down Bayley and Sasha Banks and said to them, look, you're winning the women's tag team titles because you were the ones who advocated for them the most. And we think you deserve them, quite frankly. You deserve to be the inaugural women's champions. But before we put these belts on your waists, ladies, let me first tell you, you're not in our plans to be champions in 3 months because we want you as solo. We're going to be losing Ronda. We're having a superstar shakeup, and we need you to work solo. You guys will still be involved as friends and angles and things, but the tag team thing is, we got to fade that out. So we're giving that to you. You're going to lose them pretty soon. And then you're going to go on to do some solo stuff. I guarantee you there would have been no problem with that because they would have known ahead of time and they would have said, oh, well, okay. At least I know what you have planned for me in the future. But when you show up, la-di-da-di-da, I'm at WrestleMania, and they say, oh, come here. You're dropping to the Iconics tonight. And you say, wait a minute. Why? How does that make sense in the long run? It doesn't matter. That's what you're doing. No questions. That's it. Then you sit down and you say to yourself, what do they have in mind for me? Are they just going to undermine me now? Am I done? Am I going to be used like garbage now? Am I going to be dropping matches to the whoever? Do they have any plan for me at all? Or am I just going to be sitting around at catering? That's what goes through these people's minds. So there's no reason that you cannot, with the Superstar Shakeup, explain what you're doing with the people you're picking. You brought guys up from NXT, and you had nothing for them. EC3 is coming. And he did what? You had no plans for him. You brought him up with absolutely no idea what you were going to do with him, and ultimately you did nothing. Heavy Machinery, you push him 1 week, we don't see him for 2 weeks. Then you push him another week, we don't see him for 2 weeks. Then they're in the conga line with No Way Jose, and then we don't see him for 2 weeks. Until people have lost their interest in him, and they're like, oh, whatever, I guess they're a comedy act, they're the new Bushwhackers. So you didn't use them. You brought Andretti Cien Almas up after having match of the year. And now he's dropping tag team matches. Because you had no plan for him. Ultimately, you had no plan for him. So all we're asking as fans, and I think all that the workers are asking, and all the workers really can ask, is give me the next 3 months of my life. Okay, if you happen to be, I don't know, Heath Slater, then you tell him, hey, Heath, things are going to be the way they are here for the next 3 months. We're going to feature you when we can. You know, you're a carpenter. You're going to be building up other people. That's your job. We appreciate you and we like you. But there's no plans to do anything more than what's happening right now. Then at least Slater can say, okay, well, I accept that. That's fine. I'm cool with that. And there was no hard feelings. If you're going to put the belt on somebody's waist, like a Finn Balor, you tell him, hey, Finn, we're giving you the belt at WrestleMania, and we're going to run with you for 3 months. We're not going to switch that belt for 3 months. We're going to try to make this championship mean something, and we're putting it on you. And for 3 months, we're going to be keeping it on you. We'll update you in 3 months on what's going to happen. But basically, for the next 3 months, you're solid. Or, hey, Finn, we're putting this on you, but it's transitional. Don't get attached to it. It's Lashley might be leaving soon. We don't want the belt on him. We can't have another heel take it off Lashley, so we're putting it on you, and then you're going to run into so-and-so in a month, and he's going to take it from you. That we're just letting you know. That way, at least, these people have an idea of what the company wants them to do. How would you like to show up to work every day and, you know, I don't know what I'm doing? Well, we don't even know if we need you right now, but we'll let you know. At some point, you'd say to yourself, I don't know, how am I contributing? What am I going to do? I don't know if tomorrow I'm working, I'm not working. I'm being, replaced, I'm not being replaced. Everyone's walking around on pins and needles. And then you see these people get angry, and then the fans are very quick to say, oh, it's unprofessional. Well, yeah, it is to a certain extent, but that's your bread and butter. That's your profession. That's your livelihood. And when you're looking at, okay, they're calling up a bunch of people, I don't seem to be doing anything here, they're grabbing the belt around my waist and taking it away from me before I've even defended it, how much is my worth to this company, and am I going to just be phased out? That weighs very heavily on you. I'm a big believer in letting your workers know, A, that they mean something. B, that even though they may not be being used in a major way right now, you have plans for them. Or C, being told the truth that we don't really have plans for you, but you're still a valuable part of this because we're using you to build up other people we do have plans for, and certainly someone needs to fill that role. There are plenty of workers who don't care if they fill that role. Apparently, Shinsuke Nakamura is one of them. Give me a 3-minute match and have me lose and I'll go surfing. I don't care. Just give me the money. Okay, well, though, that's fine. Then I'm sure there are other guys like that too. But you also got to know that there are going to be people who aren't like that. And they need to have some assurance that they're going to be used in the future. And the women's division right now has every reason to be angry at the WWE. Everything I have said since basically the announcement that the women's revolution was coming, I told you this is all politically motivated, it's all PC bullshit, and it's always been all PC bullshit, and now I've been proven right. you abandon any hope, any, of proving to me that you were serious about a women being equal to men in the wrestling business when you took Saudi Arabia's money and left the woman out to dry. And then as an afterthought said, we'll give you your own pay-per-view. Don't worry about it. Don't cry. Mommy and daddy's going on vacation, but we'll take you to the movies the night before we leave. That's equal. Equality would have been saying, this is our company. We come as a whole or we don't come at all. You want us or you don't want us. But money talks. So what if Saudi Arabia said, look, we're going to give you that equal amount of money, but we don't want any black people. No blacks allowed. You're going to go ahead with that? You know what the answer is? Yeah. The answer is yeah. Because they wouldn't let Sami Zayn come in the country because he's Muslim. They didn't want him. And guess what they told Sammy? Get off the bus. So the WWE proved one thing. This is all about money. 100% about money. And when our metal is tested and it's money or morality, we're going to take money. Not once, every time. Because ultimately, the first time they went to Saudi Arabia and they ditched the women, that was bad enough. But then the WWE was given a huge out. When Khashoggi was murdered at an embassy in Turkey and dismembered, arguably but probably, at the command of the Saudi Arabian government, the WWE had a perfect opportunity to say, look, we're an American company and we are not coming there. This is a very bad optics for our company. We feel it's you basically voided your contract anyway when you've done this. There's proof that you certainly did have something to do with it. And we're just not coming. And then they could have said, you know, it's about that, but we've decided if the women don't go, we're not going. That would have been a really good optics, right? They would have had their way out. That was their excuse. We've decided it's all or nothing. No. What did they do? How the hell if you murdered a journalist? Hey, women, stay home again. They got big money to spend, and we're going. This is no different, folks, than if a band or a play or whatever went into a segregated country who would not allow certain religions or ethnicities or whatever into it. They took the money and they ran. So look, they're not standing up for their women. And the women know it now. So the women know what they are. They are a PC optic for a publicly traded company to try to look like they're being progressive and broad-minded and inclusive. And instead, apparently, if I had the kind of money that the Prince of Saudi Arabia has, I could pick and choose. Hell, Shawn Michaels came out of retirement for the money. And Shawn Michaels is my favorite overall wrestler of all time. But what he did was lousy. And here's why it was lousy. He didn't care that he was coming back for the fans. The fans in Saudi Arabia, a lot of them didn't even know him. Now, he could argue, yeah, but you're watching on the WWE Network, so all the fans get to see me. Okay, but could you not have done this in America, in Texas, in some place? No, of course not. Because, you know why? Because they couldn't offer you that kind of money, Sean. They wouldn't have given you that kind of money that the Saudi Arabian government was willing to throw at you. No matter that it comes from the sources it comes from, right? It doesn't matter where that money comes from. As long as it's money in the bank. Time we stopped pretending that the women's division matters first and foremost to the WWE. That's not true, and it's never been true. And I told you from day one it's not true. And now we're seeing what happens when that house of cards starts to fall apart a little bit. And right now, all the eggs are in Becky Lynch's basket, and I feel bad for Becky Lynch because Becky Lynch is a very good performer. And in a really proper women's division filled with women who have been pushed properly with unique personalities and storylines, she's the Stone Cold Steve Austin of the Attitude Era. Stone Cold Steve Austin didn't build the Attitude Era by himself, and he wasn't the Attitude Era by himself. And if that's the only person that mattered in the Attitude Era, Stone Cold Steve Austin wouldn't have been what he was. The idea behind it was there were so many qualified people for Austin to fight who were just as high up in the pecking order as him. We don't have that with the women's division because the WWE made a conscious decision not to bother. They really didn't even have Becky Lynch because I want you all to understand very clearly that what happened with Becky Lynch is an accident. The Road Dogg wanted Becky Lynch to be a top heel, Charlotte to be a babyface. The fans are never going to take to Charlotte the way they took to Becky Lynch. Not because Charlotte isn't a great athlete, she is. Not because she's not a great performer, she is. But Charlotte doesn't have that little something extra that makes the fans really say, oh, cool, Charlotte's coming on next. Becky Lynch does. Ronda Rousey didn't have it. Asuka didn't have it. And it's time you started looking at your women's roster and said, who has it? And let's start promoting some of these women from the back because we don't have a huge roster of women that we can afford to have A-level and D-level and then everything in between. You don't have that option. You just don't. You can have one or two women who are what I would call the carpenters who build up the other women. One or two, or just hire local talent as you go. That's what you've been doing, right? But there's no excuse for Naomi not to be front and center. There's no excuse for Ember Moon not to be front and center. There's no excuse for Carmella to have been phased out to just do stupid dance routines with R-Truth. There's no reason for Asuka to be minimized to the point where her WrestleMania match went from defending a championship to getting thrown out of a battle royal. Why would you purposely tear down your own house of cards? You know you need every one of those people. People desperately to back up a Becky Lynch, to back up a Charlotte Flair. And we don't have them. So now what are we staring down the barrel of? Lacey Evans, who we haven't even seen in the ring except for a battle royal, is going to go against Becky Lynch, and the fans are supposed to be excited and chewing their fingernails off. Why? What has she done to prove that she could be any threat at all to Becky Lynch? Nothing. She's an afterthought. It's, oh, yeah, Gee, Ronda's gone, huh? Yeah. And we've had Charlotte and Becky a lot of times, haven't we? Yeah, that's getting dull. Gee, who do you think we should have Becky Lynch defend her belt against? I don't know. Didn't bother to build up anybody, did we? Nah, we said to hell with it. Yeah, that's a problem. Well, who haven't they seen her fight? Well, we got Lacey. She hasn't fought anybody. Okay, that's cool. That's her next feud then. That is that how you're booking? Because that's what it feels like. Todd, there should be any number of women ready to step up to Becky Lynch right now who have been built properly and promoted properly to make it feel as though they would be an actual threat to Becky Lynch's title.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, there's nobody right now that's like an actual threat to Becky Lynch's championship belt. But that brand, they have Lacey Evans as the first opponent for Becky Lynch, and she's getting a title shot just like that. that don't work that way.
Apparently it does work that way, and that's the problem. Look, we all know it doesn't take a genius to figure out where the money is here. The money is Shayna Baszler, Becky Lynch. That's the money. Shayna Baszler is the perfect antagonist for Becky Lynch. The perfect one. And they refuse to do it. Because they refuse to pull the trigger on, we can't take her away from NXT. This is another problem. You're drawing people away from NXT like Heavy Machinery and EC3 and people who you think don't matter, Lacey Evans and stuff like that. But you're saying, well, we'll give you the guys that we don't really have anything much for anymore. Except for Aleister Black and Ricochet. And we'll bring them up and you can put them in a tag team so they can basically be wasted in a tag team division that no one's particularly interested in. But when it comes to the foresight of someone taking a look and saying, look, you know, Shayna Baszler has been proving herself in NXT. And she's really good on the mic. And she's got that look of somebody who's, and she's got the heel down perfect. And she would be that perfect person to come in and say to Becky Lynch, I'm the new man, you know? That's where the money is. Oh, no, we can't lose her. We got some plans for her in NXT. Well, isn't it funny how you have long-term plans in NXT for somebody? Apparently, you don't have any plans at all for people in the WWE. They just come up and wander around backstage while you decide, I don't know, you're here, huh? Oh, hey. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything for you today. I don't know. Stay around here, and maybe we'll have you walk in on an interview and just say nothing. Brilliant. Brilliant. And you can do that next week, too, and the week after that. Then we'll have you on a talk show where you don't say anything either. And then we'll have you get pinned. And then we'll put you on Superstars, and you'll never be seen again. I'm not making this up. And if you're an Aleister Black and Ricochet fan, you better be worried. Because are they going to win the belts? Of course they are. But what happens when they lose them? Are they going to be relegated to being, oh, yeah, they're one of those tag teams like the Bar. They win, but not much anymore. And the crowd has already seen all their moves, and we haven't really fleshed out their characters. See, that's another thing that bothers me. You're supposed to be fleshing out their characters. How come we don't know anything about Ricochet? All we know about Ricochet is his moveset. How come we don't have anything fleshed out on Ricochet? Aleister Black is supposed to be a mysterious character. How come we have nothing fleshed out on him? For all we know, he's just a guy with tattoos. Oh, yeah, he comes out to this, you know, death metal and a really foreboding entrance, and no one says why. Why would he come out to that? How about if tomorrow Curtis Axel just did that? Curtis Axel just walks out and you hear dungeon sounds and there's wind blowing and lightning flashing, and he just walks out to the ring and does the same thing he always did. You'd be like, well, what the hell? Flesh his character out, WWE. That's what you're supposed to be doing, right? And why would a guy like that be teaming with Ricochet? The answer is they probably wouldn't. But you don't care. They're advertising on their website for a continuity director. Boy, they better get one quick because they have absolutely no idea from one week to the other where it's going, and there is no continuity. There's none. There's zero. Cannot invest themselves in a character because the characters are so out of character so often that we don't even know what their character is. That's why Becky Lynch is popular. Her character is always the same. She knows who her character is. She knows what she is. She's not the same girl that came out with the steampunk stuff. She's one of these girls, got a chip on her shoulder. She's very quick-witted. She cuts to the core. She's a little bit edgy with her interviews. She's very quick on a comeback, and she blurs that line between fantasy and reality by finding something real about her opponent and saying it, whether she means it or not. She gets it. A lot of these other people get it too, but they're not given the opportunity. Instead, we're going to get a Muppet in a box, I guess. So tonight, the Superstar Shakeup is round one. And I'm not exactly sure how it's going to work. I don't know whether they're going to have SmackDown picks or they're just going to say the following people Raw is taking. Raw will be bringing in this person. Raw will be bringing in that person. And then tomorrow night, SmackDown says SmackDown. I don't know how that's going to work. Or maybe it's one for one and they're going to do a few picks on Raw, and then it's one for one, they're going to do a few picks on SmackDown. Not really sure. But I'm begging the WWE to do the following and make sure there's two things you got to make sure of. One is that every pick that you make should have a qualified storyline on the brand they're going to in the next month, 2 months, starting almost immediately. Number two, you have to revamp the women's division, and you have to do it starting tonight. You have people there who are far better than you're allowing them to be. Ember Moon comes to mind right away. Naomi comes to mind right away. If you say they're getting dull, if your retort to that is, well, we ran with Naomi and now the fans are just kind of, okay, it's Naomi. We had Ember Moon come out and now it's just like, well, okay. It's only Ember Moon, then change them. Change them somehow. Repackage them. Put them in a different light so that the fans see them in a different way. If you had never done that, Triple H would still be genuflecting and wearing ruffled shirts, correct? If you'd never done that, Steve Austin would still be the ringmaster and you never would have had Stone Cold. Rocky Maivia would have still been coming out with a stupid haircut and the absolutely awful outfit, and you never would have had The Rock. When you see that someone is not getting over, or you see that someone has lost their edge or gotten old with the fans, you need to repackage them. That's your job. Not to toss them aside and bring somebody else up. Repackage the people you can count on to give you good matches. Naomi always put on a good match. Ember Moon puts on a good match. Carmella puts on a good match. Asuka puts on a good match. Repackage them if you have to. That's what your job is. So tonight's Superstar Shakeup is very important to this federation. Because not only are the fans starting to get disgruntled, but it's very obvious the workers are too. And the combination of the two is not good, because one feeds the other. In other words, workers get really disgruntled, like a Sasha Banks, and says, hey, the WWE, F the WWE. And fans come to her support saying, yeah, you were never used properly. We want to see more of you. We never really got to see the Sasha Banks we want to see. You should leave, blah, blah, blah. And then it gets in their head and they're like, yeah, see, even the fans know. And then it's not good. It's not good. You need to repackage these people. You need to let people know where they're going in the next 3 or 4 months in their job. Treating them like cattle. Because ultimately that's going to be your demise. Because the only thing that AEW can kill you with, they are not going to kill you with their production. They are not going to kill you with their television ratings. They are not going to kill you with their house show attendances. They are not going to kill you with their superstar names. They're not going to kill you with any of those things. What they are going to kill you with is if all of those people on that roster say, we're treated wonderfully. We're all told ahead of time what's going to be happening so we can understand what our future is in this company for the next 3 or 4 months. We all have some input into our characters and our storylines. That's going to kill you. That will kill you. Because wrestlers some wrestlers will take less money to go there if they have to, because that's what they want. They don't want to be treated like garbage. They don't want to be treated like cattle. They don't want to go out there and bust their ass for a month only to be told, eh, next, bring somebody else up, sit her on the bench, sit him on the bench, and they'll kill you with that. So if you really want to do something that's going to make your workers want to stay where they are, it's very simple. Treat them with some respect. Open up and explain to them their worth to the company and where they're going. That's it. I was always a big believer that when a company, even if, let's just say you give somebody the title and you don't really have any major plans of when they're going to lose it, you don't know, then that's what you tell them. You tell them for the foreseeable future, you're the champion. I don't know how long you're going to keep it. We don't have any plans for anybody currently right now to take it, but that could change depending on fan reaction or whatever. And the minute you make up your mind, the minute some guy comes in and he's red hot and you're like, I'm going to give that guy the championship, you call him in and you tell him this person's ultimately going to take the title. Just so you know. But we got something for you past that. Once you drop this title, we're going to start you in on a feud with so-and-so. At least they know. Before we leave here, Todd, give me one pick from Raw tonight that, well, put it this way. Give me one pick from SmackDown that you want to see go to Raw as a pick tonight. Just one.
The Usos.
Okay, so you want to see the Usos. I think that's a safe one. I think that's why they dropped the belt to the Hardys. I would like to see, if it's got to be one person going from SmackDown to Raw and not vice versa, we'll do the vice versa when we do the SmackDown report. The one person from SmackDown that I'd like to see go to Raw, truthfully, I'm going to say Andrade Cien Almas. Because I would really love to see a series of Finn Balor versus Almas matches. That I would like to see. And I think you could probably guarantee that's what you would see if he came to Raw. So I'll say that. So we'll see what happens tonight on Monday Night Raw. We hope for the very best. You know where that's led us in the past, folks. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.